Hi, this is the Magic Apothecary, and that is Lorena McKennett there on my background, called something called Between the Shadows. This is an amazing artist and an amazing actual pagan portrayal of a lot of different kind of music from around the world, all sort of blended together. So if you're interested in that kind of a thing, I think she might be someone you want to find. She just recently released a lot of things onto Spotify, so if you can't find all her albums there, you might also want to try Google Music has it, I know, and I know for sure iTunes has her stuff, and of course you can just purchase them and download them and listen to them, and they're just amazing. So here I am, the Magic Apothecary. It's Mary Elizabeth McCurry once again. I have been getting wonderful notes from some fantastical people. I'm really lucky and blessed. I've chosen to do these podcasts and video informational kind of podcasts and webcasts free because I feel like I'm doing the work of the goddess, and it's what she's called me to do, and I'm going to do it. So there are a lot of people out there that seem to be looking for information and listening and inhaling what I have to say, and I'm so very grateful for that. And so I hope I'm helping everyone who's listening, and if I am, blessings to you and a reach out and a hug from me. So I'm helping myself as well, so I have to keep on my toes with my information, which is great. So I'm sitting, I keep trying to record in different ways, this way I can be more mobile for you if I go out to pagan events, which I do, or I see stuff in my travels with birds and herbs and things in the wilds of New York City and anywhere else I might get to. So I keep my laptop and my phone available with this wonderful way to communicate with you. So if it sounds a little fuzzy, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do it on my laptop. So we'll see. So today is December 20th. It is in the pagan calendar, Midwinter's Eve. Now, speaking of Lorena McKennett, she has all kinds of stuff in an album called Midwinter, or songs called Midwinter that you can check on and listen to. And give that a try, too, if you want to. It's a really worthwhile listen. Turn her down a little bit. All right, so I had put up something a few weeks ago about Yule and winter solstice and what that meant. And I put up a link there on Podbean from a YouTube video that I have found, somebody sent to me, about sun gods. That link is available on the Podbean, and you won't see it if you're listening to this on Spotify or any other place this might be. But I can explain to you that it's on YouTube, and it's called History of the Sun Gods, or that's the answer to that. And you can just type that into YouTube, and it pretty much comes up. It's a three-part video, and you can look at some of the information there. Is it all 100% correct? No, some of it's a little bit exaggerated, but it's really cool to look at. And some of it is right on spot, especially the astrological stuff. Speaking of astrology, we're talking about at the last moments of Sagittarius. I'm sitting here recording at 8:15 p.m. on December 20th. And it's minutes before Sagittarius ends, or if it isn't already ended, I don't have my ephemeris in front of me, but by tomorrow, December 21st, for sure, we are in the first day of Capricorn, and Saturn, instead of Jupiter, now rules. The expansion that we felt through the months of November into now this part of December are now going to come to a sort of screeching halt, and we're going to have to buckle down and get much more organized and get things much more in order. And this is every single year on the planet. This is how it goes. This is where the planets are at this time of the year always, and what constellations are in the sky. Speaking of constellations, we're talking about the stars in the sky. We're talking about Christmas, Yule, the lights of Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa. This is the time of year where so many people around the whole world light lights, because especially in the northern hemisphere at this time of the year, and parts of the southern hemisphere at different times of the year, but at this time of the year in the northern hemisphere, we are in kind of pretty bleak darkness. And the further up you go north, the more dark it is. That means it's dark in the morning until almost 7 o'clock, and it's dark in the afternoon in New York City like at before 4 o'clock at this point. Tomorrow on the solstice on Yule, it is the longest night of the year. Our ancestors used to hunker down and pray through this time of the year that the stores that they had put together for winter and for this time of the year were going to last them. And they knew that if they could make it to the 21st of December, the rising sun on the 21st of December, and thereafter the sun comes back, or it's around longer. And there's a reason for that, and it's about the Earth's balance. Of course, the Earth is balanced, but how the Earth is in regards to the sun. So our ancestors in Stonehenge knew about this, and there's multiple pictures on the internet. Thank God for that stuff, because when I first became pagan or became a witch outwardly, I had none of this. So you guys are so lucky. So get onto a Google search and look at Google images for Stonehenge and its rising sun at Stonehenge, and it'll show you pictures of, first of all, people having a damn good time, but also people revering the sun rising right through the center of those stones there, and what that all meant. There's so many things to read on that if you're interested. And I was just talking to somebody I teach privately about, and I'm by the way, I'm a European descent. I did my DNA. I knew anyway, but I'm pretty sure now I know for sure. I am Northern European as well as Southern European, a mixture. My father was Italian, and so we're Greek and Italian and Turkish. And my mom's family was Irish and English and Scottish and French and German. So we're quite a mixture of Europe. And we were talking about all of these gods and goddesses and all of these traditions of the North, of the race of the people that come from Europe being dead, and how come that happened. So I'll talk about that for a moment. We're just going to talk briefly about the Romans and their rise up through from Rome all the way up and taking over huge portions of Europe. What happened was the Romans were, at the time when they were taking over things, Christian. And because of their emperor's transformation into a Christian before his death, and then the entire Roman Empire would take the emperor's religion, which was at this point now Christianity. And so as the Romans rolled up through Europe and took over country after country and region after region, if you were not there in their belief system, then, and you are a Roman citizen now that they've conquered your lands, you were murdered, or your family was murdered, and everything was taken from you. So at first people fought this, because they have these ancient gods that they believed in for so long. But then eventually they said, you know, we want to live, so we'll outwardly maybe say we believe in this new sun god of the Christians, this Jesus Christ of the Christians, or we will just, you know, we'll just, maybe we will convert, maybe we will find a path in that spirituality, and we will become Christian. And then it got to be really, the Romans were defeated, and the Roman Empire fell, and they withdrew, and kind of sort of died off, but they left the seeds of their behaviors and their empire in many places throughout Europe. And one of them in particular was in the north in England and the United Kingdom, not Ireland, but for sure England and the Scots. Although the Scots did fight and did not want it to be participating in that at all, but the English themselves were pretty much taken over by the Romans. And then the English went ahead and colonized the world as well, spreading their own Christian beliefs everywhere they went, as well as, and to America. The United States of America was colonized by the English, so British, as we know, and the Spanish, who were also Christian, and the Dutch, who were also Christian, and whomever else came over the water, who were also Christian. Okay, so that's where it went. Now, all of us of European descent have in our ancestry, in our DNA, a very strong, very powerful connection to the old gods. When I first started doing this work, I thought for sure, because I was raised Christian, that I was going to go to hell, burn, and be dead, a dead cinder, of nothing, a nothingness that the devil himself would eat alive, because I had dared to look at other types of thought. If you look behind the veil of Christianity and what it was and has been throughout Europe and then America and the rest of the world, you get to see what it erased, what it took away, how it, pardon me, whitewashed, pardon the pun, the rest of the religious beliefs of the regions that it, that the Romans conquered and then the British conquered. I'm speaking very openly and freely about this, and if you have an offensive, you find this offensive, then please turn it off. I have a right to my opinion, and my listeners have a right to theirs, and if it's not yours, that's fine. You can just stop listening, and that's fine. So we go on, if you are with me. I never said, I never have, and I never will say there's anything wrong with any religion on the planet. If a religion finds you enlightenment and you feel drawn to that type of a path, then that's good. And that includes paganism. And what does pagan mean, by the way? Well, the Romans, that's an Italian word, an old ancient Roman Italian word called pagano or pagana or paganini or pagani. These were people who lived in the country. And the reason why they called them that is because they kept to the old ways. And the reason they did that is because the Roman soldiers really didn't bother much with those people. They were like, oh, those are those poor farmer dirt people. We don't really care. We want to take over big cities. So the pagans flourished for many long years in more rural areas where Romans didn't bother. And as a matter of fact, to this day, in rural Ireland and places where the Romans really didn't reach into in the world, up north, they still, like Iceland, they still practice their pagan ceremonies and Sabbaths and full moons, as they always have. However, many of them do it in secret. So there are many points in the Wiccan calendar that Gerald Gardner put together along with others who were rising up in the 1950s into the Wiccan neo-pagan movement that are Celtic-based, Irish-based. So there's that. Anyway, so on to Yule, and Yule is one of those Sabbaths. Now, Yule happens to be a Norse or Germanic word. Yule, J-U-L-E, is the way to pronounce it. Very hard Y, a Yule. And we have Yule logs and Yule tide, and that's what this time of year is called, from December 21st until February 2nd or 1st, depending on what you look at on your calendar, we are in Yuletide. It's not a day. Christmas is a day, and we call it Yuletide. And many Christians give Christmas 12 days, but it's really a lot more than that because we're waiting for the sun to be apparently shining longer and having longer days. And by February 1st or 2nd, we start to see that. And in many places, we call that Groundhog's Day, but the Celts and the Celtic calendar calls it Imilk, which means in milk, and we will get to that as we get closer to that. So I'm just going to talk about Yule today and Yule traditions. I have had many fantastic experiences on Yule with different covens I've been part of or groups I've been part of. What I generally do is try to keep as close to the old ways as possible. And what my ancestors would have done, even in Southern Europe, would have been waiting. They would have been waiting until the dawn. They would not sleep on Yule night. They would stay up. So from from sundown on until sunrise on the 21st, they would stay awake and wait for the sun to rise. And that is exactly what I am going to do. I'm going to stay awake and wait for the sun to rise. And I'm going to chant it in. And if I've done things where I've been on roofs or in parks, and I was able to drum it in as well. And what that was about was people actually saying, okay, I'm going to make sure that sun comes back up. We're going to call to him and he's going to rise. And him is what they thought. They thought the sun was male, masculine, not a man, but masculine, a masculine force, a powerful, bright masculine force. So that's what I intend to do. So what do you do on Yule? Okay, well, let's talk about that. If you haven't had a Yule yet, here's some ideas. You can make, people like to do things like drink, but not heavy alcohol because you won't make it to dawn if you do, usually, unless you're really strong constitution and can drink and not sleep. But people make things like mulled ciders and they drink honey in wine a little bit, or some people call that mead, or they drink mead. They go and have some food and they space their meals, many light meals over several hours, so that you can stay awake. People will sit and make a ritual at the, you know, sunset, and then stay with each other until the dawn, and then separate and stay in a magic circle, a protective circle, where they brought in the four elements and the center and the gods and goddesses, and celebrate with them. They will exchange presents. They will, again, feast, as I said, lightly throughout the night. Many Bini people don't go into a very religious state, but stay and wait for the sun and peace outside in nature if they're in a warm spot, or they'll stay inside and, you know, watch movies and eat pretzels and hang out with their buddies and family, or even alone, and sit quietly and stay in a good holy space while watching movies and thinking warm thoughts of family and friends and spreading good energy throughout the world and trying to stay in a very positive space. So, and setting themselves up for the beginning of the new turn of the wheel. Yule is the first Sabbat in the wheel. There are eight Sabbats. We just finished with the Samhain season, which is ending now. And we will be going into Yuletide, which I said ends in February. So people are preparing for that next slice of the wheel, or the next piece, the next portion of the wheel of the year. And that is about rebirth. We're talking about new beginnings and rebirth and reorganization and movement forward. Of course, we have a little baby son. Jesus is a little baby born at this time, and there are multitudes of names of gods that were born, supposedly born, on December 21st as well, or around December 21st, up till the 25th or 26th of December, when the sun begins to really show its climb up into the sky. Look at that video, as I said, the history of sun gods 1, 2, and 3, and it'll explain it in so much more detail than I even want to think about getting into in this podcast. But take a look at that, and you'll see. So, it's about a little baby coming, a little spark of light, a spark of divinity. The Mother Earth herself has given birth to her, to this beautiful god, and we are again going to live. We're going to survive. This is a day of joy and joyfulness. And one of the reasons we use celebratory foods at this time of the year is because people had storage put away for this particular time. Our ancestors, being as brilliant as they were, because if they weren't, we wouldn't be here, knew how long these seasons were in particular, and knew how to put away things so that they could eat enough all the way through to February and into March and April without having to starve, without having to have nothing stored away. And at this particular time, because the last harvest in many cases was considered, what Samhain is considered a meat harvest, or harvest of animal flesh, and hunting. Though there was a lot of meat and smoked meats and stored meats ready for the ingestion about this time. So people would have those ready. And of course, many, many cultures use different kinds of sausage and the smoked meats and all that kind of stuff to celebrate, pork or even lamb or different kinds of meals of animal flesh to celebrate Christmas and or Yule and or any other holiday at this time of the year, because this is traditional food. Also puddings and heavy foods, things like so many people make fun of fruit cakes, but those things would be pulled out of the stores. Those were full of fresh fruits that they baked or cooked or had buried in crocks, so that at this time of the year they can take them out and eat them. At that time they were more like what we would consider cereal, or like really hard cakes or really hard dry biscotti cookies. But that's what they did, and that's what that's based on. And all different places in the world have all different kinds of foods that they use at this time of the year and bring out, especially for the holidays. So I urge you very much to look up your history of ancestry, wherever that may be from. And if you're multiply ancestored, good for you. More food. Yay. More things to try, right? So if you're Northern European, take a look at what smoked fishes maybe have been used, or what kind of dry cereals or breads or cakes, or like in England, the plum pudding. What's that all about, right? That's something that's really thick and boiled for over a day and enjoyed very, very much on Christmas Day in England. All kinds of stuff all through Europe, specifically in the South. In Italy, there's a big celebration on Christmas Eve of all fish. It's supposed to be a day you fast, which is silly because people I know that are Italian certainly don't fast on Christmas Eve. They eat more fish than they do any other time of the year, which is supposed to have a certain, I think it's 7 fishes. And each one of those fishes represents a little bit of the story of the birth of Jesus. And so you're supposed to sit and eat them and pray and then, you know, go to Mass or have gone to Mass, give out your presents because the baby is born and now we go to bed. And the next day you feast on dried meats and pork and heavier foods and go to church and celebrate the birth of the Lord. So that's the same kind of thing we're talking about. But as a pagan or a witch, you need to find your own path in those things. When I was first starting, I started to understand and uncover each one of those things. What does this mean? Why do we eat this on this day? What did my family, why did they do that? What did the French do on this day, and the Germans, and the Swiss, and the everyone else in the continent of Europe? What were they doing? Why were they doing that? What did they eat? Why did they do it? What is the Christmas tree, evergreen, by the way? This is everlasting life, and the fact that this is the kind of tree that doesn't die. We know all about Tannenbaum. That's a great, you know, Christmas carol a lot of people know. So there's a representation of that, and the lights on the tree represent the fact that the light is returned. Also, remember very clearly, if you can, when you're looking around at beautiful bows and packages, the colors. There's 4 colors that kind of stand out at Christmas time. There are others, but these 4 are the ones that most people see all the time at this time, at Yuletide. You see red and green. Start with those 2. Red represents the blood of the goddess. Green represents the return of the green growing god. Period. We have silver and gold. Silver bells. There's, I can think of these songs, you know, silver and gold from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Silver represents the goddess, the bright face of the moon in the sky and the stars, and gold represents the sun himself. So every time you wrap a package, you are actually being pagan. And so many people go on and on and on the internet about how Christmas is really pagan. Well, Christmas is Christmas. It's its own animal. It's got its own traditions. Christians have their own traditions, and we really ought not to be saying it's not their holiday, because it is their holiday. That's fine. Christmas is for Christians, and that's great. And they enjoy themselves, and many of them are very, very happy on this day and living and being very, very spiritual. The commercialism is a whole other issue, and that comes from, you know, American commercialism of the 1940s and 1950s, and Coca-Cola and Santa Claus and all that mishigas. Okay, now I'm speaking Yiddish. See, this is how it goes. Anyway, and I'm not even Jewish. So if you're a pagan, you have to find your own place in this season. You have to stand up for yourself in this season. And how do we do that? Well, we have Yule, we keep going, and we have our night of feasting and waiting for the sun. You can ask your friends to come over and have a beautiful celebration. And if you're so inclined, many pagans are vegetarian. And one of the reasons they are that is because one of the tenets of paganism is, and it harm, or witchcraft, and it harm none, do it thou wilt. Since many, many people feel that taking in animal flesh is harming the animals, and they don't want to do that. So if you're in a mixed company and you are a meat eater, please be careful and ask your friends if they are vegetarian, and then please provide for them. And if you are vegetarian, please be open-minded about what I'm telling you about our ancestors and what had come to pass in the past and why people ate meat sources at this time of the year. Your decision is your decision. I've been in beautiful rituals where people actually had a big bonfire to represent the light. I've been in smaller rituals where people lit like candles, you know, beautiful holly candles and beautiful incense just to represent the return of the light and just a night. And people I've known to burn Yule logs in their fireplace or make some with candles on them. You can just have a beautiful log and place candles upon them to represent the triple goddess. Or you can put on golden candles to represent the god coming in and sit with that. Use your imagination. Bring in mistletoe if you want. Mistletoe is very sacred to druids and very, very, very Celtic. However, be careful. Many, many, many witches have cats and dogs, and it is super poisonous, mistletoe. So if you do have live mistletoe in your house, be super careful, really super careful. Also, by the way, for our furry friends, pine needles and tinsel are extremely dangerous for animals. So be very cautious, okay, with your pets. And I know if you're a witch, most likely you have animals in your house. That's part of being a witch, living with our animal familiars as our friends and family, as well as our children and other humans that we cohabitate with. All right, so you can put up a tree because the tree does represent the god. It is phallic-shaped, and it is green. So what else is it but the god? It's him. It's his phallus. It's his green face. It's his everlasting life. It is eternal. It is him for all time. So that is fine. And you can decorate it any way you like if you like to do that. You can decorate your windows with pentagrams, which are just stars. They're just five-pointed stars. And if you look around, you will find five-pointed stars everywhere on almost all Christmas decorations. So that is the pentagram, five-pointed star, on the star in the sky over Bethlehem. It's almost always either eight-pointed, which represents the wheel of the year, or five-pointed, which is a pentagram. So take a look at those pictures, and you'll see the pagan roots of this Christian holiday. And claim those roots as your own, if that's what you're feeling like you want to do. So that's great to do the eve and the day of. Most people, if they've stayed up all night, sleep. And then they have a nice meal with family. And that's when a lot of pagans on the 21st will get together with their families and they will exchange presents. And most of the time they're handmade or things that can be useful because that's what our ancestors would have done, or things for health or care. So that's what a lot of people do. It doesn't have to be that. You can be very extravagant if you want as well, and you can buy a car for someone. It's all up to you. So that's one of the beauties of being Wiccan, pagan, witchcraft work is amazing because you can just make up your own ways. But I urge you, before you just throw things up in the air, read a little bit. Take a look around. Find out what calls to you. There's a book I love called Celestially Auspicious Occasions by Donna Hennis. And she is a New York City-based witch, pagan, shaman. And this is a fantastic book. And she talks about all of the different kinds of things people do throughout the world on these holy, holy days. So take a look at that if you can find it. Donna, H-E-N-E-S, Donna Hennis, Celestially Auspicious Occasions. Very good book. And she also talks about moons and various other types of holidays in there. It's a great book to have by your side. There are also tons of books available on the internet, almanacs, books about Sabbats. And just generally speaking, you know, there are great websites like Patheos, P-A-T-H-E-O-S right now, Raising the Horns, a few other really big pagan type written websites that you can explore. Also, there's all kinds. There's Wicca Magazine, and there's The Witch's Voice, and there's tons of other, there's like so much stuff now available for you guys out there. So there's also just Google. Hi, Google. I'd like to know about paganism. I'd like to know more about Yule. Yule foods, Yule ritual, Yule colors, the goddess at Yule. All these things are available for you to look at. I think in our society now, we're very into visual. I see more people on Instagram than I ever saw on anything to do with Facebook. People don't want to read anymore. And if that's fine with you, then go ahead and find your pictures, make your decorations, make your life full of light and candles and beauty. And remember to revere the god and goddess back where they were. The dark time is over. I like the music I have going on right now. This is kind of dramatic. The dark time is over. That's the main point. You have made it, as of this time, through another year. You have made it through the dark. You have made it through the growing season. You have made it back all the way to Yule again, to rebirth, to restart, to redo, to begin again, to begin fresh. All right, so take it and enjoy it. And remember, we have not just a day. We have a tide, an entire month and so, 6 weeks or so, before we have our February celebration of Omilk, or Imilk. And wait till that Imilk comes in again. You will have a lovely time then too. So keeping it short, because I know you can't wait to go off and celebrate, come up with a million different ideas. You don't have to be pagan and always. You can also, of course, if you have Christian roots or Jewish roots or African American roots and want to celebrate, or any other type of religious roots that there are on this planet, and you want to celebrate a light festival of any sort with your family and friends, please do. Don't say, maybe I'm pagan and I don't celebrate Christian things, or I'm pagan and I don't want Hanukkah, or I'm pagan and I don't believe in any of that stuff anymore. I'm going to pull myself away from it. No! Find your path in it. See that your religion is also represented within the others. May the God and Goddess bless you and keep you, and may you have the best Yuletide always, always. May you be happy, and may you be healthy and safe, and may all of us find goodness within our hearts and find a way to revere the living gods and goddesses amongst us, and to thank our ancestors every single moment of our lives for all they did for us to get us where we are today. Blessed Yule, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Blessed Kwanzaa, and whatever else that you may have come up with to celebrate. I love you, my friends and family. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.